If I turn my microphone on, there we go. Hey, I really do. I so believe in miracles. I've actually got to see miraculous healing. And I think some of you in here maybe have seen that as well. And maybe some of us haven't. And maybe there's some of us who are a little bit skeptical about that whole idea, because we know over the centuries there have been deceitful religious people who faked miracles, and we get that, and so we're a little bit cautious. But there's a miracle that happens often, and it's a miracle that actually can't be faked, and it's profound kind of miracle. It's the miracle that happens when God gets a hold of somebody's life and turns their life upside down. It's like, whoa. Where there's a dramatic transformation, a 180-degree turn in their life, like the selfish drunk, who God gets a hold of their life, and not only do they become sober, but actually they start living for others, or maybe somebody who has had a lifetime of just living out of rage and anger and damaging everybody in their life. And then God gets a hold of their life, and not only do they experience inner peace, but that then gets expressed in kindness, and they can actually consistently provide comfort to others. Or maybe somebody who's gone through horrible, terrible abuse, experienced incredible trauma. And then when God begins to work in their life, they not are only able to overcome the pain and the hurt of whatever happened, but they're actually able to forgive and be able to live in a victorious way. Those are real miracles as well. And I hope that you've seen those kinds of miracles. For some of you, you've experienced it yourself. That's your story. Or hopefully you've seen that in other people around you. We're beginning a new series, and we called Uncommon. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at faith. And there's two kinds of faith that we're going to be looking at. One I call common faith. Why would I call it common faith? Because it's so common, right? It's a faith that's easy to kind of live out. It's not that hard. It's the kind of faith that doesn't require too much. It's a faith that'll go so far, but then it'll stop. Common faith. And then there's an uncommon kind of faith. It's where we embrace a radical abandonment of control and choose to be sold out to Jesus, fully devoted to him, all in. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I see these two types of faith. And by the way, both of these common and uncommon faith, they're faith. We're not talking about no faith. We're not talking about anti-faith. We're talking about faith. And there's two kinds. And we see them actually in one person as he had an encounter with Jesus. And that person is Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter, if you're not familiar, was a fisherman. And we know from the Bible that he was uneducated, but he was very skilled as a fisherman and with boating that was required to be a fisherman. And we know from the stories in the Bible that he was a man of action. He was strong. He was courageous. And this guy, Simon Peter, what we're going to look at, has this choice between two kinds of faith, a common faith or an uncommon faith. So take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, turn your device on, and those of you who are using the Bibles on the seats in front of you, this is on page 702, Luke chapter 5. Those of you with us online, we've got the app there for you to follow along as well. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in the very first verse, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day when Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let the nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. Haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." Try to imagine this moment. Here is Simon Peter, a professional fisherman, and in his boat is an itinerant preacher who probably knows very little or has had very little experience fishing. And this itinerant preacher is telling the professional fisherman how to fish. It doesn't go well. And obviously, you could see the tone that's there, that Peter's annoyed by this request. Really, you know, like, look, we fished all night and got nothing. The time to fish is at night, and now it's daytime, and you want me to go back out and fish? This is not likely going to go well. But Simon Peter obeyed. Even though he's doubtful, reluctant, doesn't have any enthusiasm for what they're about to do. I don't think at this point, this is early Simon Peter's relationship with Jesus. I don't think he yet fully trusts Jesus, but he obeys. And what I want you to know is that is faith. It's not a mature faith, but it is nonetheless a kind of faith. And here's how I describe a common faith. A common faith is skeptical, reluctant, obeys out of obedience and obligation, but it has its limits. It's only going to go so far. And that's the kind of faith we see here in Simon Peter. And some of us are just like Simon Peter at this point. We like Jesus. We love Jesus. And we try to do what we're supposed to do. We really want to do what's right. We want the benefits of faith, but we still want to maintain control. We'll obey to a point, but we'll also pick what we'll do and how far we'll go with that faith. A common faith actually helps us to live a better life, and it serves us well. And a common faith isn't bad. It just isn't a mature faith. And Jesus, he has more for Simon Peter. He has more for us. Let me use an analogy to describe common faith. I own a car. The car is paid in full, and because of that, I have the title to the car. This is an Arizona title. Some of you are familiar with this. This says, because the car is paid in full, I have the full rights and ownership to the car. So I own this car, and I'll use the car to, of course, you know, do what I need to do. Sometimes I'll use it to help other people. Sometimes I'll let other people ride in the car to take them wherever they need to go. And once in a while, I'll even let somebody else drive the car if they need a car. I'm more than willing to do that. Now, the car, and this is where the analogy is, this is the parallel. The car is a picture of my life. I have a life. And I, well, sometimes. And I have the title to my life. I own my life. And I'll use my life in some good ways. There are times, a lot of the time even, that I'll let Jesus ride in the car. And once in a while, I'll let him drive the car. But I still have the title. It's still my life. I still ultimately control how the car is used, who uses it, for what reasons, for what purposes, because I am maintaining control as I hold the title to that. And that, I think, is what I'm trying to say. That describes a common kind of faith. We like Jesus. We love Jesus. We deeply respect his teachings. We want to obey him at least to a certain level. We want to obey him unless the situation is more than we want to engage in or enter. What Jesus is doing is he's inviting us to not a common faith, but an uncommon faith. And so what does that look like? An uncommon faith is this. An uncommon faith surrenders everything, trusting Jesus to turn our lives upside down. See, an uncommon faith is willing to truly take the risk and sign the title of our life over to Jesus and let him drive us wherever he wants to take us. And we see that played out in this story. We're going to continue in Luke chapter 5. Go back to there. Luke chapter 5, look what happens starting in verse 6. Remember, Jesus was in the boat. He asked Peter to go out to deeper water, put the nets down, and then we see what happens in verse 6. He says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now that's a miracle. The nets are breaking. The boats are ready to sink. They've got so many fish. They've never seen that before. And what a surprise. That rabbi, that itinerant preacher, actually did know how to fish. He knew something about fishing. Who would have thought? Now, at this point, we'd expect Simon Peter to be ecstatic. I mean, wow! They filled both boats with this miraculous catch. But what's interesting is Simon Peter's response is completely the opposite of what we'd expect. We pick up the story in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, as so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. They were astonished. But Simon Peter's reaction's a bit puzzling. He tells Jesus to go away. He falls on his knees, tells Jesus to go away, and says, "I'm a sinful man." Why? Why did he fall on his knees? Why did he try to send Jesus away? Why did he declare that he was a sinful man? I think Simon Peter recognized that he wasn't just in the presence of a rabbi type. What he realized was that he was in the presence of God himself. Because that's why there was this miraculous catch. He recognized that. And Simon Peter's reaction is actually quite normal and quite consistent with other people in the Bible who had that face-to-face encounter with God. You see, when we face God, when we're in his presence, and we're truly aware that we're in his presence, like Simon Peter was, then we can't help but see how different we are from God, how sinful we are. And that's why Simon Peter says what he says. But the reason he asked Jesus to go away is because you can't be in the presence of God, the living God, and go on living the way you used to live. And so Simon Peter knew that if he stayed in the presence of Jesus, it would require an uncommon kind of faith that would bring about remarkable change in his life and how he would live his life. And so he asked Jesus to go away so he won't have to change. See, Jesus is inviting Simon Peter to move from a common kind of faith to an uncommon one. Peter even said, "Lord," as he addressed him. Lord literally means owner. What Jesus wants is he wants us to give us the title. And if you know how an Arizona title works, you turn it over on the back and you sign the ownership over to somebody. And now they are the true owners of our lives. And that's exactly what Jesus is inviting Simon Peter to do, to sign the title over. And so Peter has a choice. He can say no, go away. Or he can say yes, which means complete surrender. See, a common faith wants to keep Jesus at a safe distance so that we can stay in control. An uncommon faith is radical surrender, where we give the master, give the Lord, give the owner complete control of our lives. Jesus is inviting not just Simon Peter, but he's inviting each and every one of us to be sold out, fully devoted, all in. Now, Peter asked Jesus to leave, did he? No. He didn't for a couple reasons. One, Jesus really loves Simon Peter. And because he loves Simon Peter, he also wants so much more for Simon Peter. Now, we oftentimes think of it in terms of, you know, he wants more from us. That's true. But even more, he wants more for us. Let's finish reading the second half of verse 10 and 11. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. It's interesting, we just finished a series on fear, what keeps you up at night. And we looked at a number of different kinds of fear. Well, Jesus introduces another kind of fear, the fear of surrendering. And Jesus knew that Simon Peter was afraid of full surrender. That's why he says, don't be afraid. Why? Because Jesus is good. He's not going to harm us. He invites us to trust him as he invites us to this uncommon faith that truly embraces what it means to surrender. Jesus never promised that surrender was easy. What he promises is that it's going to be good, in the sense that he's going to do incredible things in and through us as we give him the real control of our lives. That's what he wants for us. Jesus will lead us into a new and better chapter, a way of living, a life that will result in something far greater, that'll have not only impact today, but impact for eternity, that we will actually help populate eternity. And a kind of impact that's so much greater than we could ever imagine, that Peter could have ever imagined. And that leads to my point. Let go and live for something greater. Let go of the life that you're holding on to, that you want to control, that you want to manage, and embrace a faith that where Jesus really leads us. And in that process, we're going to experience something far greater than we could have ever imagined. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's inviting Simon Peter, he's inviting you and I to absolutely move past maintaining control of our life, to be safe, to really trust him, to really be sold out, to be all in. Let go and live for something greater. That's an uncommon faith. That's what an uncommon faith will allow us to do. It'll allow Jesus to take us to uncommon places, to experience things we would have never dreamed that we could experience, to see those miracles that we often miss because we're still trying to maintain control in our lives. What Jesus is doing and saying to Simon Peter is simply this. Look, let's get past fishing. Let's go for people. In other words, he's just saying, Simon Peter, don't settle for just fish. There's something greater. I don't know the specifics of your something greater. There's no way I could know that. It may not be like Simon Peter. It might be, but it might not be like Simon Peter, where he and his partners went back and they just left their boats and their nets and everything and followed Jesus. But it might be something more like how you look at your everyday routine and schedule. That all of a sudden you begin to see that you're not in control of your everyday routine and schedule, but actually you're giving Jesus the influence of how you spend your day and your time and your effort. It might be that you're not going to leave your job like Simon Peter did, but maybe you're going to see how your job is way more than just working with your coworkers and getting the task done, but you're actually there to make a difference in their lives. Maybe it's this idea that if we surrender to Jesus, that means all of a sudden we open our lives and even open our homes maybe to a neighbor in need. But you know what? We won't know what that something greater is until we surrender. We don't get to understand that beforehand. It comes as we embrace an uncommon faith. And so how do we do that? And what does that look like practically for us? Here's where it begins. It begins with a conscious, clear decision to surrender. We've got to make that decision. We've got to be willing to let go of the control, the ultimate control of our life. And if we'll make that decision, that is no easy decision. Sometimes that takes a lot of reflection, a lot of prayer. But once we can come to that decision where we're willing to really surrender, then we ask, God, how do you want to use me? Who do you want me to engage with? Where do you want that to be? How do you want me to do that? And we sincerely ask. And then we, because we've surrendered, we really are listening. And then once it becomes clear how God wants to use our lives in a particular day, in a whole maybe season of our life, then we obey and we say yes. And so the formula looks like this. Let go. Ask. Listen. And obey. Those are the ingredients of an uncommon faith. Again, not necessarily easy, but also not complicated. We're willing to let go of control. We're willing to be open to how God wants to lead us. And in that openness, we actually ask, God, how do you want to use me today? How do you want to use me in this season of my life? And then we listen to that, and then we choose to obey and actually do what God asks us to do. That's what an uncommon faith looks like. As we let go and live for something greater. Could be you're a stay-at-home mom. And no, that doesn't mean you get to surrender your kids. But it means that you begin to have eyes of faith that say, God, because I'm a stay-at-home mom with my kids, I've got all these connections with other moms and other kids, and how do you want to use me to influence them? It's no longer just being an employee who goes to work, does a good job as an employee, but rather you look for how can I bring hope to the people I work with. You see, when we embrace an uncommon faith, it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to do these world-famous great things that everybody's going to see. Rather, it's that we embrace a great faith that will allow God to do what he wants to do in and through us. And when we do that with Jesus, we get to live for things that will outlast this life, that will carry into eternity, because people will go into eternity. I want you to meet someone who's embraced an uncommon faith. I want you to meet Cazetta Blow. Her family and friends call her Cozy. I love that name, Cozy. And Cozy, come on out here. Thanks for joining us this morning. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Cozy made a decision to surrender, to embrace an uncommon faith, and that sent you on a journey.
It did.
So tell us about this journey.
So early last year, I began to hear God calling me to something different. And similar to Peter, I was not ready to let go of control. Those who know me know that I like to have a bit of control. So I decided to tell God I got this. And I put on my mask of denial, and I went on with my life a few more months, and thank God for his grace and mercy. And just like Simon Peter, my denial had nothing to do with his presence. He stayed right beside me, and he continued to call me to something different. So in May, I decided to surrender, to let go, and to take off the mask. And it was hard because the mask was comfortable. It was something that I was used to. It was familiar. And God was calling me to something that was uncertain. So at that point, I began to really seek what his will was for my life, what this something different really looked like. So I began to ask, and the answers came very quickly. I heard God saying it was time to relocate. And I thought, okay, I live in California and had some pretty awesome cities right near me, so no big deal. But this was not God's plan. So I began to hear God say, no, I need you to relocate out of state. And that's when things got scary. And once again, I was very tempted to put the mask on, but I had committed. I was all in with Christ, and I said, whatever, whenever, however, and I wanted to be true to that. So about, I gave a month's notice shortly after that, and by the first week in July, I was here in Tucson, but in a very vulnerable place. I was called.
Wait. You got here the first day of July in Tucson.
Yes. It was hot, needless to say.
At that point, you're like, really, God, really? I'm sorry.
No, it's true. I left cool, sunny California to really hot Tucson. God had called me to leave a place that I had grown up in since I was 7 years old. I had childhood friends, and I knew tons of people in my town, and I loved my church family and my pastor so much. So moving out of state just wasn't something I had considered. And yet, that is what God was asking me to do. And most importantly, I left my mama. And that was really, really hard for me to say yes to God. But I knew that that is what he wanted me to do and was calling me to do. So Here I am.
Here you are. All right, so you embraced an uncommon faith. You let go, and you are willing to live for something greater. So here you are. What has that something greater looked like?
So for me, my something greater really did start with surrendering. Prior to the completion of my relocation here to Tucson, I knew it was going to be really important for me to find a church home once I got here. So my daughter, who goes to the U of A, and my son, who's stationed at the Air Force Base here with his family, they were already here, so that part was such a blessing. However, I was in a very vulnerable space because I didn't have a church home, and I didn't have any best friends here, and I didn't have a job yet here. And so they suggested I come to Pantano, and I did. And despite the fact that Pantano was so different from any church that I had ever attended, different than what I grew up with, And I just decided to take that leap of faith, and I sure am glad I did. After the first service, I felt a sense of peace that I hadn't felt for a long time. I felt like this could be my home. And more importantly, I felt the presence of God, and I felt that He had truly led me to be here. So I decided to start at Starting Point, and I intentionally started to pray about more and what that looked like for me here. And in fact, intentional is my word for this year.
Ah, so what she's referring to is every January I ask us to pick one word that will, we pray and say, God, what's that one word you want me to focus on so that you can do something in me? And so your word is intentional. What does that mean?
So for me, intentional really is seeking what's next. Mm-hmm. And that takes some time. I really needed to pray about it and seek God's guidance. I needed to listen to Him and look for those opportunities. And really, I didn't have to look far. They seemed to continue just to fall in my lap. So things like serving our city.
Yeah, which we did at the end of December.
Yes, and being able to minister to the homeless in our community was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then making food packs for Feed Our Starving Children. Mm-hmm. And maybe like you today, bringing a bag of food for our children in need right here in our own hometown, all those were ways of God allowing me to be bigger and to do something greater. And since then, it has been such an amazing journey. But I also know that there is no way that those opportunities would have come had I not been willing to surrender, to seek His guidance, and then to obey. And so now, as a social worker, I am diligently seeking and asking and looking for the next greater.
Oh, that's cool. He's got you on a journey.
Yes, He does.
And it's just beginning.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Cozy. Oh. You know, when we choose an uncommon faith, it requires commitment. We have to do something, we have to act on it. And I think there are two basic kinds of commitment when we're engaging in this kind of faith. The first starts right at the beginning, the very first time that we make a decision to surrender to Jesus. When we make the decision that we are ready to sign over for the very first time the deed to our life and let Him be in charge, let Him truly be the Lord. When we do that, that is faith. It's a faith that says, I'm trusting Jesus to forgive all of my sins. I'm trusting that Jesus will lead me into a relationship with God Himself, and that will last for eternity, and that I get a new start. And it's a faith that also believes that He's going to lead me into something greater where I can invest my life to make a difference now and for eternity. And it's a commitment that Jesus has instructed us to do. And the way that we make that commitment when we're first beginning this journey with Jesus is that we make that commitment in baptism, in water baptism. In water baptism, we say, I am ready to surrender. I'm ready to follow you, Jesus, wherever you lead. I want to follow you. It's not about doing it perfectly, but it's about doing it sincerely. And next Sunday, we're going to have an opportunity to be baptized. And so what I want to encourage you to do is you can make that decision to follow Jesus right now, to surrender. Or take this week to think about it, pray about it, talk to some folks about it. And if you're ready to make that commitment to truly be all in with Jesus, then we're going to have that opportunity next Sunday for you to make that declaration in baptism. Oh, we call it our Sunday baptism. And I'm telling you now too, so that not only can you prepare, but also you can invite some friends and family to join you to participate with you in that. If you've got questions about that, don't be hesitant to call the church office or come on over to Starting Point, room number 1 off the courtyard. We've got folks there that would love to help answer any questions that you have about that. And then there's a second way to express that commitment to an uncommon faith. And with something that we actually do, it's a very practical way that we do every year here at Pantano. We call it All In. We invite you to be an All In partner here at Pantano. And let me be clear about what it is and what it isn't. I don't see All In partnership as a church membership deal. I don't think Jesus is particularly interested in this, whatever this thing called membership is. What Jesus is interested in is that we truly are all in. Fully surrendered, sold out, wherever we're at, whether we're at work or play, at home, it doesn't matter. And what I'm doing is I'm challenging you to be all in. We do this every year. The reason that we do this every year is because I think we all need that reminder, that fresh start, reminding again that what we're committed our lives to. And if you were all in last year, well done, thank you. There were over 800 of you that were, but it doesn't count anymore. That was last year. This is this year. It's time to re-up. When you came in, hopefully you got this all-in card. If you didn't get one, you can grab one. The ushers will have them on the way out. And what I want to encourage you to do is to look at this card. For those of you who are with us online, we've got the digital link for you to also follow along and look at that there. And what I'm asking you to do is to be an all-in partner. And here's what it means. Okay, so what does that really mean? What does that involve? It assumes that you've already made the decision to follow Jesus. You've made the commitment in baptism. And now you're ready to truly allow Jesus to take you maybe wherever he wants to go. It's that idea that I'm open for that something greater that you have in store for me. Being all in is a declaration that you authentically want to let Jesus truly be the master, the Lord, the owner of your life, and that you're going to live for him in your daily routine, whatever that currently is, that you're going to affirm that your whole life belongs to him, your time, your abilities, your money, your possessions, it all belongs to him, and that with all that you have that he's given you, you're going to use that to love people to Jesus, to make a difference wherever he has put you, to make a difference for people now, but also for eternity. It's a commitment to say, I'm willing to let go and live for something greater. That's what All In is all about. So you can sign the card, the physical card that's available here on our campus. You can sign it digitally online. There's the link. It'll be on the screen there, the All In. And here's what I want to ask you to do, though, is don't sign the card unless you're sincere. You may not be ready for that level of commitment right now, and that's okay. It's important that we be authentic in this. And when we declare we're all in, it doesn't mean we do it perfectly. It's not about perfection. I think of Simon Peter. He was so far from perfect, but he was sincere. I want to encourage you to join me and others to be all in. Let go. And live for something greater. When you do that, then what? What's next? What's next is this. Do something. Don't stay where you're at, wherever that at is. You want to take the next step. You want to discover your next step to move into that level of uncommon faith. And we've already talked about how to do that. We surrender, we ask God, and then we obey. And if you're having trouble figuring that out, get help. We've got people always at the Starting Point room, room number 1 off the courtyard, who are there to help you figure out what that next step is for you as you engage in uncommon faith. You just can't stay where you've been. That's the point. I want you to think about a what if. What if Simon Peter had chosen just to stay at a common faith? What if he had decided to keep Jesus at a distance? I don't know exactly, but I think Peter probably would have continued to be a good fisherman, would have provided for his family. But he'd have missed the something greater that God had for him. If you think about it, so many of the stories in our Bible are about Peter. Not only that, he was the key leader of this group of disciples that literally brought about a change in this world. It's through Peter and these other disciples being faithful to Jesus that billions, and that is not an exaggeration, billions of people on planet Earth have been transformed. He'd have missed all that. You see, when we say yes to an uncommon faith, it's then that we unleash the power of God and begin to see something greater that we would have never imagined. Peter could have never imagined what God was going to do. Are you tired of the everyday normal? Are you bored with the daily routine? Are you just worn out by the obligations that come along with a common faith? Are you ready for better or bigger that God has in store for you as you truly surrender to Him? Are you ready to move from safe to being impactful? Are you ready for a richer life as you let Jesus lead you into some unknown territory? But as you go into that territory, knowing He will always be with you, I want to challenge you. Let go of whatever is holding you back. Jesus is completely worthy of your life. So give your life fully to Him. And I want to give you an opportunity to sing that in a new song. We're going to sing a new song right now. Would you stand and would you declare that in song?